Satan's ultimate weapon. Satan has a weapon. And he's used that same weapon on us as he did with Adam and Eve. He hadn't changed. He uses the same method. And you know, we have to watch the cunning craftiness of the old serpent. We can call him an old serpent. And you know, as he delivered his ultimate weapon against mankind, he doesn't want to see any of us go to heaven. He doesn't want to see none of us. You know, he wants to sidetrack us. And you know, that same weapon he used with deadly accuracy against Adam and Eve, he uses that today on us. You know, and you think about this now. But what is the weapon? The weapon is questions. Think about it. It's questions. How many times have we heard that? You know, the questions. It's a power of implication to fold or twist and interrogate. I mean, you know, we think about it. It's a battle going on in our minds about life, things that happen in our life. If I would have done it this way, it wouldn't happen. You understand? You're in a battle with it. And you know, we got to be careful because the devil wants to lead us down that path with questions. And Satan comes in with this subtle questioning designed to ensnare the people by questioning mankind and then suggest his plan. You see what I'm saying? I've got a better plan. You know, you can go that way, but I got a better plan. And I can get you out of all that stuff that you're thinking about. Just follow me. You know, and I can tell you, in the Gospel of Luke, it gives us a record of this great encounter of thinking about between Jesus and Satan. Now, you think about that. It's the same devil that with Adam and Eve, same devil with Jesus, same devil with us. But Jesus took care of that, right? But the devil still knows how to answer, to tell you, ask you questions. But, you know, this old serpent, he's ready to unleash his poisonous venom upon the greatest revival in the universe when Jesus came. That's the greatest revival. When Jesus came, people, things changed. He opened up a whole lot of avenues that we haven't even gone down yet because some of us are too afraid to go down. A lot of us are afraid to go down something unknown where God has us to go, where he wants us. But I want you to look in Luke 4, and we'll start at verse 1. Luke 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in verse 2 it says, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. Now, everybody can, I've never gone 40 days without eating. Be lucky for 8 hours. Yeah, 40 minutes. But you understand. Now, he didn't eat anything for 40 days. He's hungry. His body is screaming for something to eat. Because remember, Jesus came as a man. He's just like us. 40 days is a long time without any crawfish, boudin, cracklings, that good stuff, you know. But think about it. He didn't have anything. And Jesus hadn't eaten any kind of natural food for a full 40 days. And like you said, 40 minutes would be tough. But, you know, this is when he was at his weakest point. And, you know, especially physically, he was at his weakest point. His flesh must have been crying out for the proper nourishment. Oh, give me something to eat. You know, and you know, he's been engaged with this spiritual conflict with forces even during the entire 40 days out there in that wilderness. He was in battle, constant battle. And, you know, assuming the battle was over, Jesus must have spiritually exhausted, mentally spent, and ravished, and hungry. You think about that. 40 days, 40 nights. But you know, the battle wasn't over. What to do? The tempter patiently waited. He waited on Jesus. And you know, he's with his little cunning things that the devil does. You know, he knows Jesus is hungry. He got to be hungry. And you know, and he was about to unleash his ultimate attack on Jesus. And I want you to watch it, because here it comes. Look in Luke 4:3. And he says, then the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become a loaf of bread. And I know Jesus didn't want to hear a loaf of bread, because I can look at a loaf of bread and I'm putting some pepper jack cheese on that and some dill pickles and I'm going to eat it. But I ain't going to. You see what I'm saying? That Jesus is hungry. You know, and you know, there it was. Jesus is wanting something to eat, and then the devil comes in with that. If you, what did he say? If you are the Son of God. If you are the Son of God. And what's he doing? Then turn this stone into a loaf of bread. Jesus was a man. You know, but you know, we have to understand that the devil's weapons was just launched from his evil heart. He done put it out there for Jesus. He's hungry. He wants it. I want something to eat. I'm starving. I could eat a whatever. I'm ready. But you know, the design to incriminate and also disrupt and defile, being who he was and who he was, and he was at his lowest point of his weakest condition of not having anything to eat. You know, he had all this piled on him right here. As he come out in 40 days with the devil, wanting him to turn that stone into a loaf of bread. But you know, there are three basic areas. Now think about this. Three basic areas in life which are all humanity is tempted. Now, you know, we're all tempted by the devil. We know it ain't the Holy Spirit tempting us. It's the devil that's tempting us. The first one is the lust of the flesh. Temptation, lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. Number three, the pride of life. Think about those. Number one, the lust of the flesh. Number two, the lust of the eyes. And number three, the pride of life. You know, and it's obvious that these first temptations of Jesus that he dealt with was lust of the flesh. You know, no doubt this word bread was appealing to him. He was wanting something to eat. And you know, and you can imagine, we've done that here sometimes. You know, everybody that's going to eat, they're sitting here talking. I said, we could talk at the restaurant. So load them up, move them out. You see what I'm saying? After service, I don't know about you, but I'm hungry after service. It seems like I'm just giving it all, and I'm ready to go put back. And you know, like I said, we could talk at the restaurant. I'm ready to go, and let's eat. But you know, we have to understand that there's no doubt that the word bread was appealing to Jesus, right? He was hungry, his flesh, his fleshly appetites, because he hadn't eaten in 40 days. That's hungry, being hungry. But I want you to look at Luke 4:4. Luke 4:4. And he says, but Jesus told him, no. How many times we've got to say no to the devil? No, the scriptures say people do not live by bread alone. So you see, that Jesus overcame the devil by using what? The word of God. And you know, it's so easy for us, you know, to use the word of God over a situation, and it is to fall into the devil's trap. We give the word of, you know, hit the devil with the word of God, he backs off. He can't fight the word of God. But when you're coming at him with the word of God, he's got to flee. And you know, the devil came twice again, you know, with other things that, you know, that, to Jesus to do things to so that he could draw him away from what God wanted him to do. But those temptations, he always gave them the word of God. He gave the devil the word of God. Every time he was tempted, he used the word of God. That's why we say it's so important to get the word of God in us, so when the devil does come, we can use the word against the devil. We can't use it if we don't know it, right? It's like, you know, we have the open carry law now. You can walk around with your gun and, you know, you have it. It's not any good if it ain't no bullets in it. And, you know, I mean, you sure, hey, look at that gun. That looks good. Pow, pop somebody, you know, pop you over the head. What you going to do? You ain't got no bullets. Just like you, the devil tries to come at you to tell you different things, what you do, you tell the word of God, because you're loaded, armed and loaded with the word of God. And when you're loaded like that, the devil's got to get away. He's got to flee. You hear too many times, you know, a situation comes. You know, you may have heard this before. People taking ownership of their sickness. My sore throat. My flu. My headache. My aching back. You ever heard people say that? I mean, I could say I've said it before. And, you know, and I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to take territory claim over my aching back. No, that ain't mine. Jesus went to the cross. He took care of that for me. My, you know, even though it may be sore, it may hurt, but it ain't mine. It ain't my sore back. Because Jesus said, you know, in his word, that he took it. It's his. It's, you know, I was healed by the stripes. And all I got to do is catch up to my healing. I got to catch my healing because it's there, but I got to catch it. Hallelujah. But, you know, Jesus overcame all those obstacles that the devil was throwing at him. And, you know, the devil throws at us just like he did Jesus. He throws different things at us. He throws different questions at us. You know, did God really say that? The same thing? You know, it's just a rerun of what he told Adam and Eve. And then a rerun of what he told Jesus. He said, man, just follow me. All this aching and all this pain you got in your body, you know, just denounce God and come with me. I mean, that's what the devil does. And a lot of people leave and follow after the devil. And then, but guess what? He ain't going to bother you no more. Why? Because you belong to him. Just like Adam and Eve did. They bowed to the devil by disobeying God. But think about it. The way that Jesus was tempted, Adam and Eve were tempted the same way. It was why? Because of lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. Oh, that's a beautiful fruit. You see what I'm saying? The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. They want to know, they want to be just like God. You see what I'm saying? And you know the difference that Adam failed to take authority and use his dominion over the devil. Now, man, can you imagine? This Adam walked with God. You know, we say that. We say, how could he do that when he walked with God? He was right there. God was there, right with him in the cool of the day, taking a little stroll with God. Man, that must have been awesome. But he turned his back on God. Because why? The lust of the flesh. You know, all that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and lust of life. But Adam bowed. He bowed to the devil. He bowed. He just gave up and bowed to the devil. He went by these the flesh and all of that kind of stuff. And whatever was going on, he fell for it. He fell for it. And, you know, we have to understand that when he bowed to Satan, with all his actions he did, Jesus remained dominant over that situation. And what that tells me right there, and I just sensed that in my spirit, Jesus did it, we can do it. Right? Because if we're a child of God, now Jesus did this for us, and we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, before we act and react, we should seek the Holy Spirit. Seek God. And let the Spirit of God tell us what's right, what's wrong. Because the Spirit of God is going to, He's going to tell us, because He's our helper. And you know, it's just like having God walking with us in the cool of the day. Because we can speak to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks to God. God speaks to the Holy Spirit. God, you know, you see what I'm saying? That we are on the right track, but then all of a sudden the devil comes in there with something pretty, something that looks real good, and I've seen too many people look at it, and they took off. You know, has anybody ever seen Ice Age? Well, if you hadn't seen it, you probably won't know what I'm talking about. But they were on this boat, this ship. I'm talking about the big elephant and the rest, the cougar or the tiger or the jaguar, whatever. They were all on this boat. And they kept looking out there, and they kept seeing. And this sloth, he saw this beautiful sloth. She was gorgeous. And, you know, and he said, oh, he just felt his heart was beating out of his chest and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, he got a little bit closer to it, and it was an image of a monster. It tried to kill him. That's the same thing with Satan. It looks good. I mean, you think about it. I mean, it's the lust of the eyes. You see something, oh, that looks really good. I'm gonna go for that. And you find out that's not what it's not what it is. It's just like the devil did with Jesus, telling him to make that stone into bread, stuff like that. Jesus come back with the word. So we have to understand that Jesus overcame, and Jesus lives on the inside of us, and we can overcome. Even though the situation is horrible, we still can overcome it. No matter what's going on, we may be knocked down. We may have a bloody nose. We may have this, and you know, a spiritual bloody nose. And you know, we may just say, I'm ready to give up. Now, that's what the devil wants to hear. But no, devil, nope, I belong to Jesus. And according to His word, you see what I'm saying? Use the word as your sword to take care of that. Look in Luke 4 and verse 6. Luke 4 and verse 6. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. And it says, I will give you the glory of these kingdoms and authority over them. The devil said, because they are mine to give to anyone I please. You know, the devil is... When Adam fell, the devil became the god of this world, right? He became the god. And the devil said, because of this, that because they are mine, I can give to anyone I please. It sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds like the lust of the flesh. Oh, it's a lust going after. It could be, you know, the devil says I can have it. But what does God say? We have to be careful and make sure that, you know, somebody said, oh, how you know if you're hearing what the voice of the Spirit of God? Well, the Spirit of God is going to say the Word of God. So we follow after the Word of God. When the Spirit of God puts the Word in your spirit, you're able to use that to take care of what the devil's trying to throw at us. You know, a lot of people, I've known a lot of Christians. They sit there, you ever seen like a snowball fight or something? You know, you throw a snowball and you don't have none, and you're dodging them. And that's the way they spend their life, dodging trouble. No, use the word of God. Attack the situation and say, that's it. You know, we don't have to run from the devil. We can walk proudly through there, and the devil's got to flee. Because we have the Spirit of God on us, and we got the word of God in our heart, and he can't touch us. Now, he can kind of smooth things over. Hey, how about turning that into, well, how about going doing this over there? You know, and you already know the Spirit of God says no. And you do it. So what happens? Then you start feeling it on the inside because you're kind of like, man, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Am I the only one that says that? Why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I do, you know, I just don't know what's happening. Well, you're following after what the devil has put in there, some lies he put, and you're following after those lies. And it's so easy to follow after them because you think they're good when it's really not. And, you know, you think that, you know, it takes a lot to keep yourself up in prayer. That's just like today. We pray for everything you can imagine today. You know, at the National Day of Prayer, with different people, different pastors had different things to pray for. And it was good. And I had the government. Whoo! I said, man, how am I going to pray for them? But the Spirit of God encouraged me to say the things that I said. And I said, you know, I've got to start listening to the Spirit of God more. You know, you say, what are you talking about? You? You don't listen? Yeah, I listen, but sometimes I get kind of angry at the government. Am I the only one that does that? No. But, you know, and the Spirit of God told me, he said, you know, I should spend more time praying about them than complaining about it. Because I can tell you, you see what prayer did in the last elections. We see what happened. There's a lot of change taking place. And a lot of things are being uncovered right now. Some darkness is being uncovered in this land, in this world, that things are happening. And I'll tell you what, we need to keep praying for our government, because there's the enemy's going to fight back, which you see already. So we need to be praying instead of complaining. Say, well, I don't know about all that. No, we pray for our, because that's where our battle's won. Our battle is won in prayer. By the word of God, pray the word of God, which we heard today. We prayed the word of God over the situations, families, churches, everything you can imagine. We pray the word. And that's where the battle is won, right there. You know, you sit there, your little time of your peace and quiet, wherever you can grab it, you get a hold to the word of God. You know, don't have to read much. Just get one scripture and just let that scripture get into your spirit and let it ignite, and you will see a change in your life, because you're following God's word. You're not following what you see. You know, you see all the destruction going on. You see all all that stuff going on. You see all this mess that's happening in the world. No! I put my trust in God. God's going to take care of me. And I'm believing right now, when we get together and pray for our country, we'll see a change. You know, will we see it right now? No, we may not. But I tell you one thing. Whoever's doing wrong better do right, because it's in his word. Because I think I used it today about, if you're doing wrong, you're doing that against God. That's my paraphrasing, but it's basically like that. So when we talk bad about leaders, I don't care how bad they are, we're going against God, because God put leaders in place. You know, well, God put those people. Well, yeah. God's people went to the polls, didn't they? Well, they should have gone to the polls. Speaking of that, there's an election this Saturday. Praise the Lord, just letting everybody know. So we have to understand that the devil has an enemy. The devil has an enemy. Who is the enemy? Us, Spirit-filled Christians. And you know, and it's just like I've said before, like on Wild Kingdom, the lion looks for the weakest. And I'm going to leave it at that. So I don't want to be weak. So that's why I go to fitness. Praise the Lord. I want to be strong. Now, not I'm talking about bodily strong, but I'm also getting the word of God in me to be stronger on the inside to match the outside, or the outside to match the, you know, what I'm saying is, the word of God is my strength. But I keep the rest of the body up for strength, for physical strength. That's for my spiritual strength. Hallelujah. Because we are spirits. Born-again believers, we are a spirit. God is a spirit. That's how we can communicate with God, for born-again believers. Hallelujah. But when Adam sinned, he succumbed to the lordship of the evil one, the devil. And you've probably seen people that has given in to the devil by the way they say things, by the way they do. But we know we don't want that. We want to be there to grab them and bring them back. And it was as if he had fell at the devil's feet and worshiped the devil. When we do those things, it's like that, doing that, bowing down to the devil. Hallelujah. But Adam yielded himself to the works of darkness. And I know a lot of people out there, I've tried to talk Jesus to them. I just show them the love of Jesus. But they don't want nothing to do with it. And it's nothing that we can do about it, except pray for them. That's it. I mean, a lot of people, it's sad. And they think they're doing right. You know, they think they're doing, oh, like, I'm good. I'm going to get to heaven. Okay. But, you know, we don't want to yield to the devil like Adam did. He bowed to him. And, you know, and he yielded himself to the works of darkness. And I've seen so many people. I was watching a show the other day. Something about stadium lockups or something like that. They monitor people in the stadium. The drug situation. And you know, and then you had alcohol situation. Vulgarity. All of that was taking place. And what I liked about it, it was in the Cleveland Browns football stadium. No tolerance for smoking, vaping, drinking, cussing, or anything. What they did, they kicked them out. That's the way we've got to be firm against the devil. When the devil comes at us and tries to paint a pretty, pretty picture, just like I saw today, I want it so bad. Those beautiful desserts, the chocolate ones, the vanilla, I mean, it was beautiful. The cookies were that big around. I looked at it, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. But it was tempting. And that's the way the devil does it. And I wanted that. I said, ooh. She said, go get me one. I said, no, I ain't going to. It's tempting for me just to go get one because I'd eat it on the way back. And I said, oh, I forgot your cookie. But you see what I'm saying? It's the devil wants to tempt us with good-looking things like them big old sugar cookies. I mean, you could see the sugar sparkling on the top. But that was a temptation. And those ladies, I know they didn't. They wanted to get rid of it. And, you know, and I was a good get rid of her. But I looked at him and says, oh, come on, take some of these home with you. We got a big thing, a to-go box. Just put them in there. No, no, ma'am, thank you. And I did not eat, you can ask her, I did not eat a sweet there. Now, that big pork chop didn't have a chance. That big pork chop, it's gone. Praise the Lord. But like I said, the devil wants to tempt God's people. And we got to be careful. You hear about this taking place and this taking place or whatever. And, you know, they claiming their sickness. They claiming this going on. I'm broke. I ain't got no money. Well, speak the word of God over that situation. And you'll rise up above that situation because God's word. But you know, we're getting back to what Adam, he yielded himself to the works of darkness and became enslaved. He was enslaved. His Lord was now the devil. You know, and that's a sad place to be. And they got so many people out there right now, but because they believe in a certain denomination, not in Jesus. I mean, I can tell you, when I was coming up, it wasn't nothing better than the denomination I was in because there was only one around. But, you know, I was it. That's all I was looking for, the denomination. But the denomination didn't get me to heaven. They put me on the right road to get to heaven. But it's not your denomination. It's not this or this going on. They got, well, we got all this going on at this church. That's going to get you to heaven. No, that ain't going to get you to heaven. It's your personal relationship with Jesus. Because Jesus said in his word to Nicodemus, right? You must be born again. And a lot of people think, well, I did good. I'm doing good. Ain't nothing wrong. I give to the church. I do this. I'm here every Sunday. I don't mean nothing. You got to be born again to get to heaven. And a lot of people don't realize that because they haven't ever heard of it. It's right there in the Word of God. And most everybody at this church, I would imagine you've heard it. Because we have said it over and over and over again. It's because the Word of God tells us you must be born again. And we can't let the devil say, well, you don't believe all that. Yes, I do. I believe it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. I may not understand it all, but I believe it. I believe it is true. I'd say, yeah, here it is. God, you're going to have to give me revelation knowledge of what that means. Because I don't know what that means, Lord. And guess what? He'll tell you. You don't want to go to the devil and ask the devil, what does that mean? Because the devil knows the word too. Think about that. But he's going to give you the true word. He's going to line you up. God's going to line you up with the love. And he's going to show you the God kind of love. He's going to give you the word of God to show you, to manifest, to make you stronger in the word, to make you stronger in life, to do things that you never could do before. Because why? The word of God is getting bigger in you, and you're able to do those things that the word of God tells you you can do. If the word says you can do it, you can do it. You don't have to turn a rock into a loaf of bread. God says, you're mine. You're it. And I'm going to do everything for you. Hallelujah. Did you get anything out of this tonight?